Welcome to the office, Sean. I appreciate you coming here. I know you've been on a little road show, so welcome to NC Fit Campbell. This is my office, my home.
I like it. I like your designer too.
The designer? Yeah.
It's just, I was telling you before, the details are so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. She's uniquely talented with all like the little touches.
And the rivets and stuff like that. They make a difference.
Yeah. Dude, what I want to talk about, we were talking about this earlier with one of our coaches, Frankie, and you've gotten to meet actually a few people when you walked in, but this idea of having a coaching service, just like super, I don't want to use the word triggered. That's not the right term, but it really opened my eyes. You're like, hey, look, we're not a gym. We're not a community. We're a coaching service. And so I was like, dude, I really want to talk to you for 30 minutes, whatever it is, specifically on how you went from not having a brick and mortar to having a brick and mortar and how you were able to get that brick and mortar to a profitable perspective in a relatively short period of time. I think that's valuable information for a gym owner to have because there isn't only one way to do this, right? There's multiple ways to make money. You're doing it differently than many, and I want to hear about it. So take us back to Active Life. What is Active Life for people that don't know who you are, Active Life, and then let's dive into the brick and mortar, something I'm very passionate about.
I'll give you the snapshot that brings us to here.
Bro, your voice sounds so good on these headphones too.
I appreciate it. The snapshot is we are a company that has three different services that we offer. One of them is to help individuals live a more active life without having to go to the doctor or give up the things that they love to overcome pain, to get started again, to figure out how to get over all the overwhelm. The person who's walking into the CrossFit gym on a regular basis is either coming to us for help to overcome an injury or they're not coming to us. The person who's more often coming to us is going to be the person who's like, I'm not really sure how to start, or I haven't done this in so long, I'm afraid I'm going to get hurt. That's the person who comes to us online most of the time. In person, we have a different model. We can talk about that when we get to it. Then we have the coaching side. We really, our aim is to professionalize the coaching industry, to create the person who lives between or adjacent to fitness and healthcare. I believe the healthcare industry does a really good job helping people who are sick. The fitness industry does a really good job helping people who are healthy. What lives between healthy and sick? Why isn't there someone for them? That's the person who doesn't care if they have a six pack. They don't care if they have big arms and big shoulders. They want to be able to move freely, play with their kids, go on a hike without having to wonder, are there benches around? Where they walk into a group environment and they're intimidated by it. They want to work with somebody one-on-one. We teach coaches how to do that. It's a 13-month-long mentorship. It includes between 3 and 5 hours of didactic work every week, and then about another 15 hours of applying that within whatever gym they're already working in or online. They get a mentor that works with them one-on-one to make sure they're successful in their business and in delivering results to their clients. And then they have a team of subject matter experts to help them with things like sales, managing their schedule, marketing, acquiring clients, all of that kind of stuff, and personal development and leadership. Then we teach gym owners how to employ that kind of staff, attract the kind of client that we help online, and evolve their model from group, usually from group or from small group, to the full-blown Active Life model that we run in Long Beach.
Okay. So now talk to me. Now you have this Long Beach model, mm-hmm. right? And that model opened up in January.
Yes.
And what I love about it is, yeah, these stools are great. What I love about it is like you're putting your money where your mouth is in that particular case, right?
My house where my mouth is.
Well, you put your house where your mouth is. So talk to me about that. So you're a really good example of, you know, someone who opened up a brick and mortar and you said that you had to leverage your house. So mm-hmm. how do we get to that point? Why was it $300,000 for TIs? And is that like appropriate? Like, I really want this to be like a solid business conversation for a gym owner who's either looking to open up either a CrossFit model, an Active Life model, whatever. Like, talk me through that whole process because you've opened a gym before, but this was a whole new adventure, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you asked my mentor, Ken, he would tell you Sean overspent on the build out.
Mm.
If you ask me, I spent exactly the right of money on the build out. I'll tell you why.
Yeah. Tell me why. 300 for 3,000 square feet. That's a lot.
And it was a gym before. So there wasn't that much to do. But what I will also say before I get to that, so that people don't feel disqualified, is none of our clients have done that. None of them have done that. Nobody, we're not a franchise. So no one's expected to come in and be like, all right, well, you need to go do your TIs, go find a retail space. We help people evolve from whatever they're at to where we are over the period of time that makes sense for them. The reason why I overbuilt is because I wanted people to walk in and realize they have thought about everything. They have thought about everything. So the way we started thinking about things is I interviewed well over 100 people who lived in our neighborhood or who were friends of mine who don't go to gyms. And I wanted to know if you've been to the gym before and you stopped going, or if you've never been to the gym, why? Like, why are you not there?
When did you start this process? Like a couple months before you opened?
Yeah.
You just went out and talked to 100 people.
I talk to 100 people a week. That's easy. I do that now.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to go anywhere in our town with my wife and just have like a romantic night out because someone knows me because I've started a conversation with them before and they want to ask me about something. And I love that, by the way. I wouldn't trade that for anything. That goes all the way to like the cashier at the grocery store.
Yeah.
But so, yes, at this point, I knew we were thinking about doing this thing. So I'm like, well, let's find out why people don't join the gyms that already exist and make sure that I understand them well. So, you know, started off by asking a bank teller. I got really good feedback from the bank teller.
So you just walked up to her and was like, hey, do you exercise regularly?
Yeah.
And then she or he or whoever says, no.
You know what it was? I was going to the bank to deposit some checks.
Yep.
And
I don't even know who does that anymore, but.
I know. But I went to deposit some checks and I had this moment where I'm like, don't go to the ATM, go to the teller and just start asking her some questions. So I waited in line and I went and talked to this bank teller. I found out she was 61 years old. She used to run marathons, all these different things about her, but she hasn't exercised in a long time and her knee bothers her. I'm like, all right, why don't you go to the gym now? And she gave me such valuable information. I was like, I got to ask everybody this. So I asked three more people on the way out of the bank. And the number one thing that people told me about why they don't go to a gym, believe it or not, is I feel uncomfortable because I don't know where I'm supposed to be or what I'm supposed to do. And I don't want to be in someone else's way.
Did you get to that answer by asking them specific questions? I'd imagine most people would be like, well, you know, she's not a priority. I just don't have the time. Like it's
most people would say it's just not a comfortable place. It's uncomfortable. Like what makes it uncomfortable? And as soon as you say that, they're like, well, I don't know where I'm supposed to go. Like I've been standing in a place and someone's been like, hey, excuse me, I was using that. I don't know how to know someone's using something. Or like I walk in front of somebody while they're using a mirror. I don't know that they're using a mirror. All these different things. I don't want to take up too much space. All this stuff. People don't know. And so that went into our design.
Hmm.
Right? So our design now was, okay. And the other answers, I'll get to that in a moment. The other answers are like, I walk in and it's scary.
Yeah.
As soon as I walk in, I can see everybody working out. I know I can't exercise like that, which by the way, isn't true, but it's true for them in the moment.
Well, it's their perception and that's their reality, yes. Right? Like, and I think that's something we have to take ownership in is like when you walk into a gym in particular, I mean, I would say a conventional gym, CrossFit gym, almost any gym, you walk into one, if that's not a place you're comfortable with, it could be pretty intimidating.
Oh yeah.
Cause like we get numb to it because we've been surrounded. Like you walk into our gym, you're seeing a dude right now doing a rope climb. It doesn't phase you at all. Like right. Just like, it's Tuesday or whatever mm-hmm. day it is. And to other people, they're probably like, they just turn right back around.
They don't even come.
Yeah, they don't even come.
Because someone told them I went in and this guy was climbing a rope. This other person was lifting this heavy weight. It was right. Crazy in there.
Right, right.
No, and they're like, did you walk out? Like, no, like I stayed for the day, but I was so sore the next day. Like, it's too crazy in there. And now they're not coming back. Their significant other isn't coming. Their friends aren't coming. It's like that's it for that whole group. That whole social group is now canceled.
Yeah, and I would make an argument like maybe that's not the demographic that your gym wants to serve anyways.
Which is something I've talked to people at CrossFit about
right.
And gotten a ton of pushback on.
Yeah, like for us, we've had to come to the terms that like we're not going to be for everybody and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like our target demographic is going to be a hard charger, somewhere in there 25 to 55 year old who's looking to train hard and live free. And if you're not looking to train hard, we're probably not the best place for you.
Which is one of the reasons why you're successful. Because when I get pushback on this when I talk to people either on CrossFit seminar staff in the past, when I talk to people at HQ, when I've talked to affiliate owners, all I'm trying to do is help them be more successful by saying, there is an avatar person
yeah.
who is perfect for you. And you're not talking to them. You're talking to the people who come to us who don't even consider you because you saw an ad from CrossFit that talked about the grandma who got a different life. But the reality is the person who you're best fit to serve probably played sports growing up And if they didn't play sports growing up, they have some kind of a competitive attitude, which doesn't mean they have to compete. It means they're comfortable being in a room where people are competitive.
Yeah.
They've probably exercised in the past. They know what it's like to be sore. They don't mind being in a social environment, or they like being in a social environment. Generally speaking, they're fairly healthy. That doesn't mean that they're on weight. It doesn't mean that they aren't on medications. It means they don't have impediment to movement when they walk in. If your gym was full of people like that, and you just talk to people like that, they'd fill your business.
Right.
And they'd pay whatever you wanted, because they haven't been able to talk shit since college.
The reality is what you just said, I think, really summarizes where we're at as a business, and something I've had to come to terms with is, like, it's okay not to be everything to everybody. And if our target demographic, like, you're going to see a full class here in 20 minutes, mm-hmm. you'll see what, I mean, we have all different, you know, the mindset is of hard work. Mm-hmm. That's the mindset. The mindset is, I'm coming in here, I'm getting after it. And that's a key foundation of what we're building here at our gym.
Can I push you on that?
Yeah.
I would argue hard physical work.
Yeah.
And what the client who's more attracted to what we're doing is looking for hard mental and emotional work.
Sure.
That manifests in a physical way.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, to me, when I walk here and I see two rooms, I'm like, man, it'd be so cool to have this one be an NC Fit and that one be an Active Life. And when someone walks into the wrong one, we're just like, no, you're better off next door. Yeah.
You're on the wrong side.
Yeah. Look, yeah. But all that to say, I wanted to understand how our clients were going to want to use our space. And so we laid it out now where when you walk into a front desk, you cannot see the training floor. Mm-hmm. We have a Sonos system that plays music in the back for training and music in the front for just being.
Right.
We have a scent. So as soon as you walk into the building, you smell something that is unique that you haven't smelled before. There's no chemical, there's no harsh, you know, hormone disruptors. Yep. It's a scent that we formulated.
Yeah, and you're putting it through the air conditioning, or
no? They're like these lava stone diffusers that live everywhere in the building.
Yeah.
We didn't go that crazy.
Yeah.
I didn't put oxygen into our. No,
you didn't load it up.
I want
like
to.
like a Vegas casino where you're loading.
I want to. But so there's that right now when you move out of the front desk area, the place where you would wait is a place where you can't see the training floor. You're looking out the front door and you feel really comfortable. You're safe. When you start coming down the hallway, you don't see anybody exercising on their own. You can only see the side of the building that has personal training happening. So if you're new, you would never see somebody doing something that you don't think that you can do without somebody else helping them do it. I laugh because I walked home one day and this guy was building out a coffee shop. And he sees my shirt and he's like, hey, you're the guy with the nicest bathrooms in town. We hadn't even opened yet. But he hired the same contractor that I hired because the contractor shared some stuff about the build out of us. And he said, those bathrooms are sick. Because I want our clients to walk in and say, this bathroom is as nice or nicer than the bathroom I have in my house.
Right. So what did you do different? So did you build out showers too or no?
One shower.
Yeah. We went, you know, we built out three here. I think it was a little bit overkill, but.
Well, the one shower is, it's a perceived value. It's not a real value.
Yeah.
It disallows somebody from saying, I can't come because.
Yeah.
And then nobody uses it.
Yeah. You know, just on that note, you know, TIs and buildouts, they're get expensive. And when you talk about showers, I mean, they could be really expensive, especially if they have to be ADA compliant and stuff like that. I imagine your shower, depending on how you built it, I mean, you could talk like 20 grand to open it to like, if you started from scratch type of thing.
Yeah, we didn't. There was a shower already there. We upfitted.
Just updated it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyways, it's a nice debate if it does add value. I think you're right though about like its perceived value.
Mm-hmm. Well, for us, it was already in the room.
Yeah.
If it wasn't in the room, I probably would have added it just for the sake of the perceived value.
Yeah,
I
mean, yeah.
Like we went to the point of when you come out of the bathroom, you're right across from an open locker room. So get changed in the bathroom and then come on out. But our lockers all have three phone chargers in them, every locker. Because we don't want you bringing your phone onto the training floor.
Makes sense.
No headphones on the training floor. Don't even bring the shoes you wore in onto the training floor. Change your shoes like a jujitsu gym. You know, you're not wearing shoes.
Not wearing shoes.
But,
yeah.
But same idea. A lot of our clients don't wear shoes when they train. And then we have stations. So all of our stations are set up with all the equipment that a person would need. So they never have to feel like they're borrowing someone else's stuff. Is it okay if I, that's all gone.
How many stations do you guys have?
10 plus three personal training spots.
So ideally the goal would be to get to, so talk to me about the model. So you're the 300 TI, I definitely want to get to that because that just sounds excessive. You must've like put like gold toilets in or something. But before we get to that point, talk to me about the Active Life model. So I know you had like the online, you have the coaching, you have the online for athletes, you have the coaching curriculum. And for your actual brick and mortar, how are you servicing it right now?
I'll give you the customer journey. It starts with a discovery call. The discovery call is where we're figuring out, do we think we can help you? Those calls typically run 60 to 90 minutes with our lead operator.
And it's free.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I would say right now about 50% of the time we're saying we shouldn't help you. And we're referring them to a different business in town, whether that's a doctor's office, a physical therapist's office, or a different gym. I wish that was less. It means our marketing needs to improve to speak to the person we want to talk to. And that's on me. In the meantime, one out of every two people booking a discovery call, we're sending out. The other one, we're recommending a consultation to. I don't know the exact number. I'd have to guess somewhere between 85 and 90% of people we recommend a consultation to take us up on it. The consultation's in person. In that consultation, what we're doing is a brief evaluation to identify need. We're reestablishing that we understood their goals. This is what you want to be able to do. We figured out all of the things that might be in their way outside of themselves to be successful. Like, is your spouse in support of this? Would you be able to work? Like, what's your work schedule look like? We clear all of that stuff for them.
Right. So by the time they get to the buying decision, you've already had these conversations with them.
We want all of the objections to come up before we tell them what it costs.
Right.
So, and then by the way, people still object when we tell them what it costs.
Of course.
And we help them work through that. And for some people, it's a bridge we can't cross. For some people, it's a bridge most people cross it. In fact, most people are like, that's about what I figured it would be. Which is crazy because it's $150 a session and oftentimes we're recommending 64 to start.
So you have this initial call, and this is really interesting to me because we rolled out nutrition, a nutrition challenge at the gym. We then rolled out nutrition and accountability coaching. Mm-hmm. And so our memberships will now vary from $226 a month to, I think it's like $600 a month, depending on what you want to do here at the gym. Mm-hmm. And I think it's an area, and our team was actually talking about your model, and we're actually taking inspiration from your model, just on a different way. So initially someone sets up a call. Mm-hmm. That's just like a conversation. Then they set up a consultation where they actually come into the gym. They meet with you. That's where you work through objections and then maybe have some type of pricing binder where you go over and you create a plan for them. Is that the way you're doing?
We don't have a pricing binder. I'll share with you how that works. And we all, whenever there's somebody who they believe would be an obstacle to them being able to start, we ask them to bring that person with them to the consult. So do you have a husband or a wife who knows you're dealing with this problem? A boyfriend, girlfriend? Yes. Would you bring them with you? We think it'd be really valuable for them to be able to hear you talk to us about this problem in ways you may not have talked to them about. And we'll be able to ask you questions that they will get answers to their questions that they don't know how to ask you. And that when they figure out the best way to ask you, you don't know how to answer them. We'll handle that for you. Oh, right. Oh, that'd be so great. So they bring that other person with them. Now it's also been taken off the table that they're going to go home and ask that person before they enroll.
Right.
So they also know we're going to ask them if they want to enroll in the space if nothing changes about our belief that we can help them. So they know what they're coming to. And sometimes people are like, look, I just need to digest this and come back to you. And I don't think anyone who's ever said, I want to digest it and come back to you has not enrolled.
So how about the gap between like the initial call and the consultation? Like if I called your gym and I'm like, look, dude, I just want to join Active Life. I want to get fit. And you're like, all right, sounds good. Talk to me about this. And then after 60 minutes, you're like, okay, now come in for a consultation.
Mm-hmm. So I follow you. I'll give you both. The discovery call, we're putting them through what we call an idea filter. So in the discovery call, what we're doing is we're asking them, what's your ideal outcome? Right? So what's the ideal outcome? If you were to work with us, what's the ideal outcome?
Yeah. What does winning look like? Yeah.
Great. What must be true for that ideal outcome to be realized? So in other words, you say, I want to lose 50 pounds. That's to us, that's not an ideal outcome because what if you could have the body that you want without losing any of the weight? Would you take it? Yes. Well, then let's come up with a better ideal outcome. We help them come up with a better ideal outcome. Then it's what must be true for that ideal outcome to be realized. I need to have my schedule managed so I can be consistent. I need my husband to be on board with me. I need to be able to figure out what I need to eat, how I need to eat. Cooking and eating out, they give us a list of these things must be true. Great. We're identifying, do we believe we can provide all the things that must be true? Or do we need to refer them out to somebody else or tell them they're not a fit or a combination therein? Oftentimes we work collaboratively with somebody else. We don't do nutrition. we'll give them basics, but we're not doing nutrition coaching because I don't want to build curriculum around that. We refer all of that to a company called Level 10 Coaching. Mm. So, and people are like, oh, your clients pay $400 for coaching with them and $1,700 for coaching with you? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the next question on the discovery is basically, what's the worst case scenario of not taking action? So what's the downside of you not doing this? Okay. And what's the best case scenario of you not taking action? So, okay. So now you understand all of the possibilities. Is it worth it to you to come in and find out if we can help you? Because right. we think we can. Yeah. Great. They come in. During the consultation, we now know that you have a problem that we are confident that we can help. What we don't know anything about is how we're going to need to help you. So how many personal training sessions? Which pieces of our educational content do we need you to understand right away? Who are the people in your life that we need to teach you how to communicate with in a different way than you're communicating with them right now? Who are the people in your life that we need to communicate with on your behalf? Our staff regularly go to doctor's visits with our clients. They're not paid extra to do that. It's part of the job. So what happens now is that person comes in, they get a very brief evaluation, call it 10 to 15 minutes of some movement assessment and just comfortability moving around in the training space. Then they come in, we say, look, based on this, we want to take you through a questionnaire that will identify how many sessions we believe that you need to go through to solve for what we just found, plus what you told us that you want.
Right.
We've taken thousands of people over the years through training sessions. We know how to figure out how many you need. Are you ready to answer some questions? Yes. We ask them questions. Each question has a weight that we tie the answer to. So maybe that's one session, five sessions, three sessions based on the answer to that question.
Sure.
Have you had surgery in the last 3 to 6 months? That's an example of a question, right? Yes. Where was it? Shoulder. Did you have anchors put in? Yes. How many? Boom. Now we can go ahead and say this represents this many training sessions just for that problem set. When we're done, we say, look, based on the answers to the questions that you gave and our experience, you need this many training sessions.
Right.
To start.
Right.
Now here's the deal. You need this many training sessions, but this represents 100% of what we believe it's going to take to get you competent and confident enough to no longer need a personal trainer. At which point we're going to matriculate you to what we call our Ascend sessions, which is going to be where you get individual design delivered to you in a group environment with a professional coach in the room every time you're doing something. We only want you to commit to 12 of these sessions today, financially. Mentally, commit to all of them. Today, financially, commit to 12. And then after the 12th one is done, we'll just automatically bill you for the next 12. Does that sound reasonable to you? Yes, great. And then they're in.
Or they could pivot from that private training to your small group classes with individualized training.
They have to earn that. So no one selects their own journey. So they come in and we provide a prescription to them. They either accept the prescription or they don't enroll.
Now let's talk about the model. So when you open the gym, you open it up with one manager and three coaches. And the goal for you starting was certain pay rates. Mm-hmm. And you were able to hit profitability. You were able to hit owner take home in like, what did you say, 4 months?
Yeah, April.
And that's with how many clients?
I could be misrepresenting this. I believe it was 26 through March.
26?
Through April, yeah.
So you're really diving deeper with a smaller audience and mm-hmm. you're generating more revenue per client, but obviously impacting them in a specific way that they're... Now, for us, one of the big issues that we've had to overcome is when we're talking about nutrition, accountability, and membership, and you're talking $600 a month, let's just say, I would need to look at we have different accountability tiers. But anyways, one of the challenges I think our coaches have to overcome is that for them, it's difficult for them to see the value. So like, let's just say guys like you and I train all the time. I grew up in a gym. I started when I was 15. I'm very comfortable here. And so if you told me, hey, Jason, you need to go pay $500 a month for your health and wellness, I couldn't understand that. But if you're a software engineer by trade and health and wellness and your fitness and your longevity for the rest of your life is important to you, you will pay that. And so how do you have a coach put themselves and detach from their perspective and engage that there are other perspectives on this? You get what I'm saying? Because my perspective is always going to be skewed because I wouldn't pay $500.
Well, I would. There's a few things there. One, I think you would. Maybe not for fitness.
Right.
Right. But let's say, for example, that you are... you're going to learn more leadership skills from somebody who's going to help you become a better teacher of leadership.
There you go.
You'd pay that.
Right.
If there was a doctor who you were like, that doctor is going to help me live an extra 10 or 15 years. I believe that. And be more of, have more vitality right now. I'll pay him $500 a month for a year to find out.
Right.
I think you would.
Yeah.
You just have to be, you'd have to trust that person enough to say, I believe that there's a likelihood this is a reality. Now, I think the bigger challenge that your coaches are having than that is there are the client has the opportunity to choose the journey. And so now what happens is the coach is making recommendations, but they don't have the authority over what that person would necessarily buy. And so, for example, think of it this way. For us, my thing, and by the way, I want to be clear before I say this. There's a very strong place for what you're doing, and I think it's necessary, and I think it's awesome. The way that we would do it would be different in that the way our values are stated is I'm not letting you pay us any money unless we believe we can completely solve your problem for the money you're paying. And so if we believe that you need someone to help you with nutrition right now and you're unwilling to sign up for that.
Yeah, there's no place for you.
We can't take right. you on because we don't feel like we can provide you what you want. Here, you have some opportunities for like, let's get their foot in the door. Let's get them comfortable being here. Let's earn some trust with them. And over time, they'll evolve into what we're looking for them to do. And there's justification for that. We only have room, 120 people were capped. That's almost a $2 million a year business. So I'm fine with being capped with 40% profit, but net. But, and by the way, that's with staff all making around $120,000 a year if we were doing that. We're not there yet. I can't boast that we've done it. I will. I'll come back next year. We'll talk.
Yeah, about yeah. It. Hey, a year from now, I'm in.
Probably 18 months, but we'll talk about it when we're there. But the point I'm making is we are a highly prescriptive service.
Right.
Our coaching staff has gone through, like we call them active life professionals. They've gone through at least 13 months of development with us before we've hired them. And then we realized, oh man, we have to train the shit out of these people now. They're having conversations with people they've never had before. We need to coach them on this.
Right.
So the money one is an interesting one, right? Because our coaches don't have to sell. Our leadership team does all of the selling.
Right.
The coaches are on salary.
Yeah.
The coaches' salary.
They're executing on the plan.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this, look, they have to learn sales too, because someone says, I think I'm going to stop right now. Like, whoa. You are making progress towards the goal you told us was important. Is the goal no longer important? They have to be able to do that. But they don't need to be able to, it's not the same kind of sales as the upfront.
Yeah. That's a different way of looking at it. The prescription is a different way of looking at it. So yeah, for us, we are going, you know, I do see a little bit of a race to the bottom through some of the industry right now, and we are choosing to go up. Mm-hmm. We are, you know, we raise our rate, everybody pays the same. And now we're adding a nutrition, which I think was long overdue. Actually, I think for our business, adding nutrition has been a good thing because it helps get results quick. And it was just a missing piece of our puzzle. But anyways, Back to the business model. I'm curious. What the hell did you spend $300,000 on TIs? Because the space we're in right now, it's pretty beautiful. And I think that we spent about the same.
Mm-hmm. So before I get to that, I want to make sure I answered your question, because I think that people might feel off the hook as a result of the way I answered that and feel like, oh, well then.
Well, I feel off the hook. That's why I just went on.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. Here's how we help coaches get over it. We ask them simple questions. Is there anybody, like, are you giving your all to class? If we're working with a client, for example, are you giving your all? Or are you mailing it in?
Right.
Like, no, of course I give it all.
Give it all. Yeah.
Okay, great. Is there anybody who you've seen in class who's been with you for 6 months or more who's still scaling or modifying the same movements that they've been scaling and modifying for the last 6 months? And then we're not talking about they don't have the skill or the raw strength. They don't have the range of motion, or they're hurt, or something of that nature is stopping them. Yeah, I can think of a bunch of people like that. Great. What about somebody who joined to lose 50 pounds, 20 pounds, 100 pounds, and they joined 6 months ago or more and haven't lost any weight? Any of them? Yes. Are you doing your best in class? And now they start thinking about it. I'm like, no, you are. You are. What it's obviating is that there are people who need more help than you can provide to them in class. Now, you feel bad about asking them for money. So don't ask them for money. Offer them a service. It's not an ask, it's an offer. The difference between an ask and an offer is, if I said, Jason, I have tickets to go to the game 7 of the NBA finals. Are you willing to come with me? You're like,
yeah.
Yeah, but why are you saying willing? Why would I not be willing to come? If I said I have tickets to game 7 of the finals, would you like to come with me? That's a totally different conversation. So we see coaches all the time, starting with the willing. They feel like it's intrusive. Like I'm asking you to do something you wouldn't want to do. The opposite is true. We just say, look, just ask them if they'd like help with this. We teach them how to start asking the questions in a way that is different than what they're used to saying. And once they get that, the prospect will say, yeah, I would love that kind of help. And then just put the price in front of them. And in the beginning, it's going to be really uncomfortable to say it out loud. You're going to choke on it. So maybe have somebody else with you. And once you've seen people just say, yeah, over and over again, you're like, what the fuck is going on here? How is this happening? And then all of a sudden you can't look back, because now you start seeing people in the gym who are struggling, who you know you could help. And you're like, the only thing between me and them is my financial scarcity. Just go ask them.
Yeah.
That's what happens. Now, what we spend $300,000 on. Does that answer the
question? No, yeah, it does. But your model is very different from, like, you know, CrossFit. It's like, you know, identify your coach to class ratio, optimize your square footage, and get your membership in. Well, and figure out the price per member that you're going to charge to create the profitability you want.
Well, that depends. That depends on the values that you have for the business. You know, you and I talked about wanting to have career professional coaches that you are striving to do and that you're making steps towards doing. What does that coach need to earn? I look at that as a formulaic approach. They need to earn at least 4x what their living expenses are. How far do we want them to live from the business? What kind of a house or apartment do we want them to live in? So let's say, for example, their rent is $2,000 a month. There needs to be a path for them to make $8,000 a month in the gym.
Right.
Now, do we want them doing that through coaching, cleaning the floor, mopping the bathroom, doing some member calls and stuff like that? Or do we want them to bet on their ability to coach and just go all in on being exceptional? For me, that's what I want. So now—
Because you said your coaches are doing 25 hours?
That's considered full-time for us, 25 hours.
So a full-time coach for you does 25 hours of mainly PT, right?
No, so that's floor time. So that would be PT and then what we call our autonomous class.
Yeah, I mean,
we call our Ascend sessions.
And that was with the 50 starting.
Our coaches start at $50,000 a year on base, or $48,000, it's $4,000 a month, on base salary. And that was before we had a client. Now, when we work with gyms, we do not advise them to do this.
Right.
They don't have the financial runway to do this. What we do with a gym is we teach them how to get their first full-time staff member. And that's going to happen through personal training. It's the simplest way to do it, and it's what the clients want. What ends up happening, and by the way, we do that through on-ramp.
Yep.
We teach them how to do a formulaic on-ramp that ends up between 8 and 12 sessions for the average client coming in the door in their business. And we evolve it over time to be our model, which is between 55 and 70 sessions.
Right.
But now what's happening is we're like, how many clients are joining? 6. Okay, so let's assume it's going to be 4, because 2 are going to say that's too expensive. If 4 people buy 10 sessions, that's 40 sessions a month. What are you charging? Well, let's charge this instead. Now the coach can make $55 on a session.
Right.
If the coach made $55 in a session and you're doing 40 of them a month, that's 8, that's 9 hours of work per week for that coach. How many classes can that coach still do? Let's say they can still do 10 classes. What are you paying them? Let's say 30. That's $1,200 to $1,300 a month in classes, and then $2,800 a month in personal training that you can count on. That's $4,100 a month in salary for your first coach with business you already have.
Fundamentally, we need to see coaches make more money. Because I think where the breakdown is that gym owners, I don't think, are making much money. So they're not paying coaches much money. And so then coaches just, it's just like a revolving door. And the problem is you're not getting great quality coaching on the floor. It's a vicious cycle. We need to make sure gym owners are making more money and coaches are making more money. Something that's very important to me.
Well, I'm with you on that. And part of the reason why that happens, I believe, is because we are afraid to charge the client what they need to be paying for the service.
Yeah.
And then the gym owner's like, I don't want to invest in the coach in that way, because our clients aren't, here's the very common scenario. I see this especially with commercial gyms we work with before they work with us. You need to charge this for training sessions, minimum for your demographic. And we have a formula. If you'd like, I can share it with you. You can give it to your audience. This is what you need to charge for personal training sessions, depending on where you are in the country and what the income in your area is. Now we know what the baseline is. This is what you need to pay a coach. Okay. They're like, well, no one's going to pay that. Great. Why not? It's too expensive.
Yeah,
I'm like, right. So you're saying it's not worth it? Well, but it's either worth it and they're going to pay it, or it's not worth it and they're not.
Yeah.
So, okay. So let's agree. It's not worth it. Great. Why isn't it worth it? I mean, other people are doing it, right? So why isn't it worth it where you are? Well, we need to develop the coach so that they would know how to give a training session that's not the group class done one-on-one.
Right.
So now, great. We now have a better coach. Well, why aren't, you know, why isn't the coach better? Well, because I haven't invested in them. It's this vicious cycle of like, something has to happen. And what I like to tell gym owners is you can start with the things the coaches already know how to do. What are you doing if you don't know how to help somebody lose 20 pounds? And if that person hasn't lost 20 pounds and they're in your gym and they want to, they might be very happy to buy one-on-one coaching from you if that can genuinely help them. If you can do that, offer it to them. And now you start to see these coaches who got no additional skills besides self-belief start to earn a real income coaching where they don't need to do member calls or mop the floor or any of that other nonsense, admin work to make a full-time job. They're doing it coaching.
Now, how can you take one of your coaches, let's just say, who's, you know, making, let's just say $50,000, and over time you want to get them to $100,000. Mm-hmm. Okay. Admirable goal. My question to you would be, where does that person go after that? So right now they're trading out their time. Mm-hmm.
Perfect. I get you.
For money.
Yep. So,
but what if they want to go on vacation?
Our coaches go on vacation.
I'm just saying it's like, so right now they're on salary, mm-hmm. right? So that's great. What does that look like though for the long term? Yep. Like what's their next step?
Yep. So again, I'm going to parse out our model as compared to the model we would ask somebody to run from day one.
Yeah.
In our model, you don't have a personal training client. We have a personal training client. So it doesn't matter who coaches that person on that day. We're having meetings every week about every client so that we know if someone else is going to be training them, we can take care of that.
Yeah.
And there's an automatic rotation. That client is going to work with everybody on the staff.
Yeah, which I actually think is a really good thing.
We overstaff with a surplus of one. So now when people go on vacation, they're like, we have the fill. There's no problem at all. We have the fill available. The next thing is when you talked about they get to $100,000 a year, what's next for them? For a company like yours or a company like mine, helping us open more locations, working in the corporate office, something of that variety might be the next thing for them. Mentoring other coaches and staff development. It depends on what their strong suit is. In another gym who would be asking, so let's say you're a one box location and you're like, what would they do after that? Is anybody in your gym making that right now?
Right.
Are you making that right now? Let's solve for what's after that when you can reliably get somebody to that. Then we can start talking about, what's next for you, gym owner? You have a successful business that now operates without your daily input. What do you want to do next? Would you not want some of these people who helped you achieve that to be with you when you do it? Whatever it is, would they not want to be with you if you led them to this goal? We'll figure out what's next when that's the problem.
Yeah, you're putting it back on the leader. Essentially you're talking to me, right? Because we have people that do well here at this company. And it's like, it's my responsibility then to continue to show them forward trajectory if we want to retain them mm-hmm. through more locations, different things. But you're right. How many gym owners listening are having coaches making six figures and or that they themselves?
Right.
And so if that's the goal, let's work towards that. And then once you get there, we can evaluate next steps. Makes sense.
To us, six figures is the baseline.
Yep.
Get to six figures and then come up for air. Like, I'm stable. What do I want to do with my life? Let's get there first, though. In too many cases, like the only industry with greater turnover than coaching is hospitality, where no one intends to be a career. The issue we run into in fitness coaching is the person who you're working with, for example, at formerly HGST, right?
Now it's Western Digital. Yeah.
They're looking for a person who they want to be around first and foremost. Then they're looking for that person to deliver them content that's going to help them. When I say content, I mean coaching in the room.
Right.
It's difficult for a 21 to 25-year-old to do that for a 50-year-old living a very different life. And so it's not that it can't be done. It's that it's difficult. And so what happens is we need people to cut their teeth, making the mistakes early in their career where they're saying things to people who are like, my kid woke me 3 times last night. My job has been really hectic lately. I'm not sleeping really well. I went out with some friends this weekend. I'm just trashed today. The inexperienced coach is going to say, let's work through that. Let's go. No excuses.
Right.
The experienced coach who can empathize with that client is going to say, let's talk about the decisions that you're making. How can I best support you today? Like today, instead of going for a 9, we're going to train at a 4. Instead of training for an hour, we're going to train for 30 minutes. The other 30 minutes or the other 20 minutes, we're going to talk about strategies that you can employ so that this does not become your future or so that you can feel better about it when it does. That's, to me, that's a professional coach. That takes maturity. It takes development to do that.
That's definitely a different model. It's a completely different, it's a more high touch, high cost, rounded, like, you know, for us, we're impacting members in a specific way. What you're doing is you're adding in different layers, like talking to them about lifestyle choices. Yeah. We might layer it in with like the question of the day we're talking about or whatever, but we're not going to sit people down very often and start talking about, hey, like,
dude, we have clients walk in for a training session and not work out. They come in with the full expectation that they're going to work out, and they end up in an office talking to a professional the whole time about why do you keep ending up in this position? And it just ends up being a person to person conversation about how to live a better life, how to be more, have more agency
yeah.
in their life. And guess what? They pay the same thing. They don't not pay for that day because they didn't work out.
So how much of it is therapy versus fitness? It's like 50-50. Yeah, or what?
You know, I hear you on that. And it's, I don't, the difference between what we do and what I would consider to be therapy is somebody is making an analysis of why you're thinking that way. They're trying to hold the space for you to start to evolve through all of that stuff from a very clinical perspective.
Yeah, yeah.
For us, it's in a lot of ways, 50% proactive, 50% reactive. So we're providing education. And then when something goes wrong for a person, we're referring back to the education that we provided, making sure they understood it, making sure that they value it, making sure that they're leaning into it, and then asking them how we can better help. The difference between success for us and success for a coach in a regular gym is success for a coach in a regular gym is Sally loses her 25 pounds, if right. that's what she came in for.
Yeah, yeah.
Success for us is Sally lost 25 pounds, goes to Thanksgiving dinner, someone offers her cake, she has a bite and gives the rest back. And someone says to her, oh, that's right, I forgot. You're so into your health now, you're not fun anymore. Sally knows what to say. Sally knows how to handle that conversation. Sally knows how to impact everybody else at the table in a positive way so that someone else, maybe there's 20 people at Thanksgiving dinner and 18 are like, oh, fuck you, Sally. But one of them is like, no.
Yeah, I'm on board with that.
That's success for us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That makes sense. So when you're talking about, I had something in mind. So let's go back to brick and mortar because I this is very interesting to me. So you open up in January, good time to open, obviously. It couldn't have all been rainbows and unicorns.
No.
So obviously you still have TIs and build outs. You have to replenish cash, mm-hmm. right? You said you had to.
So it's like $7,000 a month is going back into that.
For the loan.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's a loan from our parent company to our subsidiary company, but it's a loan nonetheless.
Right. And so what type of hurdles with this model that you're going over, obviously identifying staff, building out a space, zoning, all that stuff, but what happened that it was unforeseen? Because I'm just curious.
The most unforeseen thing is you're trying to explain something to people that doesn't exist anywhere else. And so their expectation is this is a gym. This is not a gym. A gym is a place. This is a service. We're not a gym. We had to stop saying we're not a gym because then people are like, oh, gym, I get it. It doesn't matter that there's a not in front of it. So it started off by figuring out how do we educate people on what we actually
Yeah, how do you communicate what the value proposition that you're yes. trying to provide? Yeah.
The next thing was trying to get started before we were open. You know, trying to get people enrolled and excited before we opened the doors, ordering 3D renderings and all this kind of stuff. And people still couldn't see it. It was still like, I don't.
So did the pre-sale kind of go flat a little bit?
Yeah. You know, we one of the things that I tried to do I was like, damn, you're good, man. This is really smart. People are going to study this. I bought appetizers for everybody at a restaurant. So I took okay. the whole weekend.
Yeah.
I said, every head at your restaurant gets an appetizer from us. Free.
Yep.
So they sit down.
So hey, this compliments of Active Life that's opening up down the street, blah,
yep.
blah.
Yep. And they got a little thing about what we
I are. Mean, it does sound pretty good. I mean.
Right?
Yeah.
QR code to book a call.
Yeah.
450 heads over 3 days. Cost me $1,500 or $2,000 in appetizers. Zero book calls. Zero. And I talked to the restaurant owner. I'm like, what do you think happened here? He's like, well, I think if we did it again, it should be something on the way out the door. It should be like a goodie bag with some popcorn that says, hey, we know you're going home to watch a movie and hang out. Here's a bag of popcorn on us. Learn more about Active Life. Instead of, here's how you can live a healthier life before you order fried chicken. Right?
Yeah.
So lesson learned.
Yeah. I mean, because I mean, I imagine the appetizers probably weren't like, you know, all the best things ever.
Well,
our
appetizer, we just, everybody got like a tomato soup or a sweet potato soup. It was, everyone got the same thing. There wasn't an order and appetizer. We'll bring it out.
It's an interesting test case though. That's interesting. Did you do anything else like sneaky like that? That's pretty, I've never heard of that before. That's interesting to me.
I think we'll do it again and we'll do what he suggested. Anything else that we did sneaky like that?
Cause I mean, if you went with like a, yeah, I mean, dude, it can get really expensive if you just left it open, end it, right?
Yeah. We have a podcast and the podcast has been a really valuable client acquisition tool without it being in the intention. Our thing is like, how do we become the most valuable business in this town to this town? Well, if we can help all the other businesses in this town be successful, we become the most valuable business. Everybody wants us to be successful.
Right.
So we started a podcast. The podcast is like, let's just shine a light on what you're doing. We call it the LB Locals podcast, Long Beach Locals. We bring on local vendors and stuff like that. I think 5 or 6 people have enrolled who were other business owners who we had on the podcast. And they're like, tell me about this.
Mm.
That wasn't the intent.
Right.
But it's been what's happened. And then they get the content that we create from the podcast. They share it because now their business has free marketing and their audience finds out about us.
Okay. I like the appetizer, the podcast, obviously. Yeah. I've thought through that one. Any other ones that come to mind?
So the next one that
the appetizer one is cool. I mean, it fell flat, obviously, but it's one of those ones where like, I'd bring that back to the team, be like, bro, what do you think about this? And free coffee. You think like free coffee at like a,
it could. Yeah. So we do free coffee at the farmer's market. And so here's a great example, right?
Yeah.
When we go to the farmer's market, we always buy coffee from a coffee vendor to give away for free.
Okay.
And the first time I went to the farmer's market and they had this sign on the coffee, I was like, I'm not going to intervene. Let me just see how they do it. I show up and there's like a piece of loose leaf with a bunch of pens scribbled free coffee. And I was like, guys, is this like yesterday's coffee? No, we just bought it. I'm like, it looks like yesterday's coffee.
Yeah, like where you see like the yesterday, like Danish, like day old donuts. Yeah.
You just have that's supposed to be the flame the moths are going to come to.
Yeah.
Right? Handwritten free coffee. No. Walk over to people and say, we just bought this coffee from this vendor over there. It's kind of cold out. Would you like a cup for free? We're looking to support the other vendors at the farmer's market. Yeah, that'd be great. Who are you guys? Sparked conversation. Now all of a sudden, people talking to us. When I went and, I mean, this is different. This is for the corporation, but I went and spoke at an event for corporate gym owners. Walk into the gym, they have a smoothie bar. Went to the smoothie bar, I'm like, there's 55 people in that room. I want 55 smoothies cut in half. Please deliver this half at this time and this half at this time. And then I had 7 staff who were there with me, just walked around with trays like waiters, giving away smoothies from the smoothie bar at the gym to everyone in attendance. This is cool. What's active life? Saw it on the shirt.
Yeah, all of a sudden, like now they're getting something and they start engaging with you.
Yes.
Yeah, the appetizer one's funny though, man. Mm-hmm. I don't know what gym owner would try that, but that's a good one.
Well, so the next one that we're doing, and like again, this is not meant, none of it's meant to be, well, that was meant, the appetizer was meant to be marketing, but this is not meant to be marketing. It just will end up being marketing. I'm tired of crap food being in our kids' schools. I'm tired of seeing kids who are getting fat before they have a chance and parents who don't know what they're doing. And I've seen the school last year. I sat on a committee for a healthier life in our schools.
Yep.
And I was like, if I could take 50 hours of my life and just shred it, that's what I would do with it. Nothing valuable came. So we went to the school board and I was like, we're going to put on a health education night. Free, free, free. And we're going to bring other businesses into it and we're going to spread the word. We just need a space from you and some help marketing it. So on June 3rd, we're doing a health education event from 2:00 to 4:00 in the afternoon. And the idea is we're going to teach very, very simple things to the parents, the teachers, the faculty that they can take home and use right away.
Yep.
Then we're going to give them access to our app, which is 100% free app. Exercises on it. They would go into the side for individuals. Coaches go into the side for coaches, gym owners, side for gym owners. But we're giving away more on that than most companies have in their arsenal. And so there are workouts in there. There are educational pieces that we give to our clients at the flagship that are paying us $1,500 to $1,800 a month. You get them there for free. The only thing you're not getting is a coach to walk you through it.
Right.
And so we want to give that to our town.
The kids stuff is huge, man. How old are your kids?
4, 6, and 8.
Dude, I'm telling you, man. I had one of Caden's friends deadlifting in the garage for the first time. And it's just really interesting. You know, this kid's super athletic, but you put him on a barbell and just like, it's like a fish out of water. Mm-hmm. They just, anyways, kids, fitness, nutrition. It's a really hot topic because I just feel like as a community, we're just getting too soft. And it's not
we
good.
Are, and we could go down that rabbit hole. I don't think it's the intent of this
we
podcast.
We need to do a whole other podcast on how we're getting soft.
What I would say to the gym owner, though, is I think part of the reason why it's so unnatural for him to grab a barbell is because it doesn't emulate life. Like I bet if we had that kid go on something like a landmine, have him pick up a sandbag, have him carry a kettlebell around, it would make sense. But a barbell doesn't simulate what's happening in the real world. It's just the best way we knew how to load ourselves for a long time.
Hmm. I mean, what's interesting about that is with Ava, my daughter, I only have her kettlebell deadlift because she gets in a significantly better position doing kettlebell deadlifts than she does in a traditional deadlift.
Mm-hmm. Huh. I give her a sandbag.
Yeah, I mean, we do sandbags too. Yeah, it's interesting. I hadn't thought about through that lens. Yeah, you're right. Maybe as an introduction to the positions, I could revert back to sandbag kettlebell. So you get almost in like that sumo position versus like a traditional deadlift where you have, you know.
Well, she's going to round her back. She's going to rotate to the side. She's going to shimmy. She's going to do all these things that you have to do to pick up a bag of compost.
Right.
You have to do to pick up the whatever you're picking up in the real world that doesn't have a perfect grip that is symmetrically loaded. For me, I get the appeal of the barbell. I used it for a long time. I chased the triple bodyweight deadlift, the double bodyweight squat, caught the squat, didn't catch the deadlift. But to me, now as I've evolved past those goals, I only really use a barbell when it's in a landmine.
For like driving it, for thrusts?
I can squat it. I can press it. I can rotate with it. I can do compound movements with it. I can clean it. I can jerk it. I can snatch it. I can do all these things.
Clean it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Like single arm clean.
It starts with a single and it moves to a double. Landmine University is a great place to start if you're looking at that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I have a landmine in my garage. Mm-hmm. Huh.
Landmine University.
Landmine University. Okay. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Dude, we can go down. We can go look at some of this landmine stuff because we're at the gym right now. But anyways, I know that, look, you have a flight out tonight. We're going to go watch this class a little bit. But the model, what's interesting to me about you is that you came from a traditional, like more of a CrossFit background, right? And you're doing something different now and you're trying something out. And so far it's been proven. I mean, so far you're generating profit within 4 months and not many owners are able to do that.
No. And look, our clients are proving it in their own way too. Cause they are coming from, they own a CrossFit gym today. And they're like, I'm about capped and I don't have a way to create full-time jobs for my coaches. And I'm not making enough money to set myself free. I can't see myself doing this in 5 years or 10 years. I need to ascend myself. I need to ascend our staff. How do I do it? And it starts very small. Let's meet you where you are. Let's develop ancillary services like personal training and nutrition coaching, if you want nutrition coaching, so that they match or exceed your group revenue without reducing your group revenue. When we do that, we double your income. Top line. Now, it's not doubling your, it usually does double their bottom line because most of their fixed costs are wrapped in the first 20. So it doubles everything for them. And then it's like, okay, well, now these people don't need personal training anymore. Drop them down into a continuity model that costs significantly more than the group class, but feels like a downsell from personal training. They do that. They're like, oh, wow, they're doing it. Everyone's doing it. Now you've gone from making 20 grand a month to $45,000, $50,000 a month in your gym, top line revenue. And what starts to happen is they're like, I'm running into these problems. Our coaches just want to keep doing this kind of work. I need someone to run the group. And then we're like, well, 40% of your revenue now is coming from the group.
Right.
Where are your problems coming from? The group. What is your attachment to it? What if you raised it to $400 a month? Nobody would pay that. What if you charge these people $600 a month for something similar? All of them would pay it. We have to make some decisions here. Who do you want to be? But it starts with one coach, one training session.
Yeah. The who you want to be. I mean, that's obviously a big part of where we're going to go into with leadership and different discussions like that. Look, the active life model, it's not necessarily, I don't necessarily see our model pivoting to that, but I appreciate it. I really do. I enjoy hearing more about it because I don't think there's one size fits all. I think there's different models, but you just have to execute on it really well. It's all in the fundamentals, right?
Well, let me be clear. I don't want you to pivot to the active life model, right? Like, I mean, would I love for you to say that outside of the room? Sure. Or one of your locations, let's just experiment and see what happens here.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But the world needs NC Fit. The world needs CrossFit gyms.
Right.
The world needs commercial gyms. It needs all of those things. We want to work with the people who are like, look, I am more inspired by the person who has amazing transformational change every time. I am inspired by the person who I told Kelly earlier today, who comes to you and says, I was able to go on a kayaking trip that I never could have gone on because of the work that you did with me in the gym. Thank you so much. And have that happen on purpose. Like, right, put that goal on the board and then let's help that person achieve that goal and make sure that they're able to bring someone else who they love with them, because it's more fun when it's shared. I want to find coaches and gym owners who want to be able to offer that experience consistently and reliably to their clients to create full-time jobs. You can create full-time jobs doing what you're doing. You've proven it.
Yeah.
It's a different client. It's a different coach.
So for gym owners, I mean, obviously this is very geared towards the gym owner, this conversation, but you know, so if they want to, where can they find out more information?
They can find it. The easiest place is to come find me at Dr. Sean Pestuch on Instagram. That's the easiest place because all of our stuff is aligned.
Intertwined right in there. Yeah.
You can find it there. We just released an app in the App Store called Active Life Community. It's our thing there was like, I see these other mentoring companies giving people what they believe is appropriate. We wanted to give more than any of those companies are giving and charge $0. Because I want, like, it's 8% of our content is in there. I know what we have. And I want people who are like, I meet with a person once every month. They give me a bunch of ideas. Some of them work, some of them don't. And I ask them, well, would that person know what success looks like for you? Probably not. Do they have staff doing the things that you want your staff to be able to do? Probably not. Well, come use the app for free. You don't ever have to sign up with us. You want to run a successful CrossFit gym? Learn how to do it in that app. Free.
Hey. All right. Well, check out the app. I got to go check out the app. So yeah. No, I appreciate you, man. Well, we'll go down to the gym and we'll make it happen.
I appreciate you, Jason.
We'll be right back.